Hi, welcome. I'm Tommy Holst, and this is a Dropcast Movie Poster Podcast Interview Edition. Today, I will talk to an artist that I have been following for quite some time, and he is all over the Comic-Con scene and all the cons. He's doing everything, doing really great life art, and he has a very painterly style. Robert Bruno. Welcome, Robert. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. It is great to be here this Tuesday morning. My time.
it's the afternoon here, so it's all good. It's only 6 hours, so it's fine, I guess. Glad that we can have you after you've done the Horror Hound in Cincinnati recently. So how was that being back in the Comic-Con or like con circle?
Yeah, I mean, it's been my third show back since all the lockdowns. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. I think people are still kind of feeling it out, getting their bearings. You know, not as crazy as they were back in 2019, but I think it's good that we're kind of easing back into it. Mm-hmm. I don't even really have a break. Tomorrow morning, I head to Salt Lake City for FanX, okay. And that should be the first... big show. They usually get a really good turnout for that, and that's one of my mm-hmm. Favorite shows that I do every year. So that'll be the test, and then of course in I guess another 2 weeks after that we have New York Comic Con, and that should be very interesting.
How is it for you as an artist? I mean, I see different artists not doing Comic-Cons at all or any type of events like this, but what does it make so special for you?
I mean, I have always just liked going to the conventions in general, just as a way to connect very personably to, you know, people that follow my work. I like networking in person, like, you know, growing my audience, whether it be my newsletter, social media. I love seeing, you know, people's genuine reactions when they, you know, are flipping through either my, you know, flip through books and they find something that really resonates with them. There's nothing like just catching somebody's eyes and their facial expression, you know, when they get excited about something in person. So I really do love that. You know, I love talking Marvel, Star Wars, comics, film. And I do like traveling. The Comic-Cons have literally afforded me to see the majority of this country, many cities I might not have otherwise checked out. So I usually try to stay an extra day or two if it's a new city to kind of check out the lay of the land. I love eating. I love drinking. So restaurants, bars, you know, historical type things, nature. It's just kind of a really nice addition to my, you know, commercial work kind of studio setting here in Brooklyn. So I love it.
You're in Williamsburg or where in Brooklyn?
Just outside of Williamsburg, a smaller town called Clinton Hill.
Oh, okay. I've been in 2019, like basically last time when you could go, so that was fun. And I went over to Bottleneck and mm-hmm. hung out with those guys. So always good to see. See the art scene. That's like basically, and also went to Hashimoto when they had Frank Lloyd Wright series. The Frank Lloyd Wright series that just came out, and it was basically the Frank Lloyd Wright was my first actual show in terms of alternative posters or pop culture posters. So that was like crazy to come. Like, you know, since I'm in Germany, we don't have that often. It's more like like the art scene is bigger, but not like this kind of pop culture scene. So yeah, it's really cool to actually go to a gallery opening and experience the whole thing. So that's really fun, and goes along the lines as you just mentioned with like seeing the actual reactions and have artists there and like talk to them. So that's pretty cool. By the way, did you catch the Amp Jam weekend? Did you have a chance to see that? Or
I saw all the posting on Facebook and Instagram. I mean, it looked like an amazing show. I saw you know, quite a few really impressive releases. No surprising with the artists involved. And it looked like it was a great success for everybody around.
Yeah, so maybe next year you're gonna be on, huh?
Maybe, yeah.
I will talk to Gareth.
Okay.
Alrighty, let's get to our speed round. And
All right.
the speed round is always like 10 words or favorite things that I'm gonna ask you, and you just from the hip shooting it and giving us the first association that comes into your mind.
Okay, I'll do my best.
Alrighty, so here we start out with color.
Palette.
Okay, that's interesting. That's the first time anybody said that, so that's cool. Favorite Avenger.
I've always been a Captain America guy, just a kid in Brooklyn.
All right, all right. What's your favorite sports team in the NFL? In the NFL, let's say NFL.
NFL, the Philadelphia Eagles, which is surprising being that I'm from New York.
All right, all right. Are you earning some scorn from people in your neighborhood?
Pretty much everybody in New York, if they're watching, the Eagles are the New York Giants' rival. So I started rooting for them when I was a little kid, probably 6th or 7th grade. And yeah, I liked their quarterback at the time. His name was Donovan McNabb. They were not very good for a while, or they were just good enough to make the playoffs, but they never got much further. Obviously, they finally won the Super Bowl 3 years ago. But a kind of a cool sub note with the Eagles, they were my first commercial client that I
Oh, all
had.
right.
So that was that'll always be very special.
So yeah, we're probably going to talk about that piece in a little bit here, but
Yeah.
let's do the other leagues as well. NFL,
Sure.
we have NFL, we have MLB. I mean, I'm sorry, MLB.
New York Yankees.
Okay, they at least you're a New York New Yorker. NHL.
Not a huge hockey guy. I'll watch the playoffs. I like all the energy and the hype behind the new the Golden Knights in Vegas.
Okay.
I think they're a cool team.
And then last but not least, obviously the NBA.
I'll root for the Nets. I could literally walk to the Barclays Center from my apartment, so that's kind of cool.
Okay, but how do you like the like last season since having the super team?
Yeah, the super teams is kind of it's a shame in one way. I mean, it's exciting for people going to the games, I'm sure. I know the hope for Brooklyn was to make the championship for sure and then win it. So I think they probably feel like they didn't go as far as they should have. But I mean, that series against Milwaukee was amazing. I mean, it literally came down to the last shot. So as just a competition goes, you couldn't want anything more than that.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to be, huh? Like I
Yeah.
don't know, the first the NFL kicked off, so there was some great games. I mean, the Browns
Yeah,
game.
I was secretly sneaking some NFL on my phone at Horror Hound.
How was it that with, I mean, the Bengals did good.
The Bengals did good. It was funny. I was talking to people at the show, and then I was talking to my Uber driver on the way back to the airport. And I feel like at this point, Bengals fans have a very cautious optimism.
I understand that, yeah.
Yeah, so it was just kind of funny hearing them even talk about a win.
But yeah, I mean, looking at Burrows and Chase, like their
Yeah.
connection, that looked pretty good to me. I mean,
It looks good. I think with them, they always look good early, and then something happens.
yeah, I'm a Browns guy, so
Okay.
I
Well,
know that feeling.
you guys are looking real good. I mean, I know you lo I mean, you lost to Kansas City, but that was a really good close game.
And yeah, maybe when it comes down to the playoffs, we'll win this one. So.
It's possible.
Fingers crossed on that one. Okay, let's moving on a little bit here. What's your favorite tool?
All right, so I'm gonna have to give you two. I'll give you just my Cintiq tablet in general. That allows me to do the commercial work in the style and manner that I love to. But after picking it back up in like the heavy quarantine months of COVID, I do have to say watercolors as well.
All right.
It's such a nice balance between, you know, a digital and an organic medium. I love working with both of them equally.
Okay. What would be your other job if you weren't an artist?
Oh boy. So this goes back to my backstory with the Eagles. I came very, very close to becoming a police officer.
Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna say
When
wide
I,
receiver or something like
oh no way.
that.
No. I knew early on, if I wanted to pursue anything in sports, it would be through my art. But yeah, it would be a police officer.
All right. Samurai or ninja?
Oh wow. I like the tradition of the samurai.
All right. What is your most important thing when you travel to cons?
Well, obviously making sure I have everything I need, going down my checklist, but
Okay,
then while
but
I'm there,
yeah, let's say material thing. What is the one thing you grab from the hotel or whatever, or from the con if there was a fire or something, you know?
oh geez. I mean, certainly if I have any originals with me, I try to just scoop those up. Before I leave the hotel, I make sure I have a shitload of water, because that is a real problem at Comic Cons when you're talking all day.
Portrayal landscape.
Portrait.
Alrighty. Do you have a favorite comic book?
I want to say, just because I did really love the illustrations in it, I think it was The Secret Wars, that had more of that hyper realistic painterly style. I was really drawn to that. I admittedly didn't read it throughout, but just speaking about the artwork, I really, really enjoyed that style.
And last but not least, what song is on heavy rotation right now?
Not even right now, pretty
All
consistently.
the time.
It's Queen. And I would say if I had to pick a single song, it would be March of the Black Queen, which isn't one of their more well-known songs, but it's an amazing track.
All right, that's it. The association is over. You feel comfortable with the answers you gave?
I do.
Perfect, perfect. All righty, let's come to the posters that we're going to talk about here, like from the posters that I picked. Because you have a lot of them, it's like really hard. And
Yeah, no
I'm
problem.
gonna start out with like a little cop out here, which is I want to talk about your sports poster in general because I
No
really love
problem.
them all. I really love them all, I have to say. And you already mentioned it, the Eagles
Yeah.
one that you talked about. It's the one with Dark Peters and then all the with all the players on him, right? Where, who's that? LeSean McCoy's on there. Ertz.
Yeah, that should still be Chip Kelly when he was the
Oh, Chip
coach.
Kelly. Okay, yeah,
Yeah.
but. Yeah, these are the people. So for the people to see now, let's talk about this first job in the sports scene. How did it come about? How did they contact you? What was the deal?
So this is after I had graduated art school. I guess it was 2012. For two, I think even going on 3 years, I was very much your prototypical starving artist, if you will. I was working multiple part-time jobs. I was trying to just do commissions for friends, family, the few people that were following my work at the time, when I got home from work, trying to build my portfolio to push it out to clients. Wasn't having a lot of success with that for a while. So I knew I wanted to get into sports. I thought I could maybe break into that field a little bit easier than, entertainment like Marvel and Disney, just because there weren't nearly as many artists doing sports work. So I was utilizing LinkedIn to kind of just search every team and just pull a contact from, every team I could find, whether it be a graphic designer, marketing director, art director, creative director. And I was just sending them an email like, hey, my name is Robert. This is some of my work. I'd love to collaborate with you and the team on a future project. And I pretty much sent something along those lines to every single team in every single league. And Lo and behold, it was the Eagles that kind of reached back out to me right away. They said, hey, you know, we actually were looking for an illustrator to do a project for our season ticket holders. I believe that was in 2014. And it all just kind of came together very quickly.
And then, I mean, lucky for you, since this is your favorite team. So
yeah,
how excited
that,
are you?
Well, in that aspect, it was very, you know, fateful, I guess I'll say. Yeah, because out of the 100 plus teams I reached out to, you know, it was a team I've been rooting for since I was a kid. Yeah, it was kind of funny.
By the way, how's your family on that matter?
So that's one of the reasons why I didn't have an allegiance to the Jets or Giants. My dad was never really a football guy.
Okay.
My dad got me introduced and very into tennis.
Mm-hmm.
That's still his thing. That's what we watch together and play
so
together.
You're going to do US Open next then?
I've done a few tennis pieces. I actually did a series for a smaller tournament, the Miami Open down in Florida. But I would love to work with one of the majors doing
I just remember, I think I talked with Matt Taylor about it, because he did for ESPN some
mm-hmm.
tennis stuff, so that was also really cool. So tennis is a big thing at home.
Because both of my parents played. I remember my parents tried to get me to take lessons when I was a little kid, but tennis wasn't the cool sport, you know, when you're a little kid. So I unfortunately didn't stay with it, but I picked it back up about a year ago, and it's been really enjoyable, you know, now at my current age.
but what's your size, by the way? Like, how tall are you?
I'm not like 5'9". I've always been fast, so I can get around the court.
Okay, because you look tall, at least in the video. So
well, all right, good.
Because I'm like 6'2" or something, so mm-hmm. a little bit bigger, but so this, because like the student of mine, he's a tennis, I don't know, maybe protege. He's like, I don't know, in his age group, he's like the 40th ranked 40th,
oh, wow.
And he's the German champion right now, and he's gonna like take a break, like a sabbatical year, to play tennis. I guess that's what he's going to do before he finishes school. Let's see if he finishes school. I hope so for him at least. But maybe this is going to be the big break for him. So fingers crossed.
Amazing. I mean, best of luck to him. And of course, you have a couple of great players right now with Zverev on the men's side, and obviously Kerber has been a great women's champion. Mm-hmm. So Germany's looking good in the tennis world.
Indeed it is. It's a big big hobby over here, but let's talk about some other sports pieces here.
Sure.
I mean, you've done a lot of basketball as well. I mean, you've done a great Jordan piece, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And you did, for example, the OKC Westbrook for Cycle. And how did this all happen? Is it all bounced off from the NFL work that you did, or
I do attribute that. I think it kind of just created like a snowball type effect, because, you know, then I was posting about it, the team did a post about it, and what I have learned about the sports community is, especially with the pro teams, all of the art directors and creative directors know each other. A lot of them bounce around from team to team. So literally, just sidetracking a little bit, after I finished the job with the Eagles, it was only about, I'd say, a month before I got a call from the Miami Dolphins to do a similar type of project. I mentioned, it was kind of just like a snowball, like picking up steam, going down a mountain. I ended up doing jobs for Cycle Media, because they covered a lot of sports, a lot of social media type content. ESPN, the MLB, just their social media platform, a few more pro teams. I did the season tickets for the Indiana Pacers. I had been working for the Chicago Cubs before COVID happened.
Okay.
And then just recently, the commemorative poster for the Pittsburgh Pirates.
That's
probably my biggest job for the pro team.
That's a good segue. Let's talk about that here.
Yeah.
It is a great piece. We talked about it on the latest Dropcast release podcast, and
Thank you.
we really love it. And how did this come about, and how was it to, like, I don't know, like, I think I would feel very honored to do this very inclusive and important project.
No, I couldn't agree more. Just being a baseball fan, that moment is very historic for baseball. You know, the first all-minority lineup with those players. And that team also then went on to win the World Series. So for the city of Pittsburgh, I mean, that's like one of the all-time, you know, sports moments, years, and they have a pretty rich sports history. So it was one of those projects that, you know, as soon as I started doing it, I had this, I'd say a good pressure, to really just do a great job representing the players involved, the team involved, and really everybody in the city that was like a part of that year.
And how was it in terms of, because there was like a live panel thing, and I think you met some of the players, and can you elaborate a little bit on that?
Yeah, so they had a 50th anniversary event to commemorate, you know, that day. It was September 1st, 1971. Mm-hmm. And, you know, thankfully, 4 out of the 9 players of that lineup I illustrated are still alive. And they, honestly, they look incredible. So the MLB and the Pirates facilitated this kind of commemorative panel where they talked about the experience, you know, what that meant for them, you know, what they see with baseball kind of since then, how it's become more inclusive and involved for everybody. And, you know, I just knew I had to get the piece done for that day. I was invited to this event, and I was, you know, thrilled just to be there. I had no idea that they were going to do like this whole grand reveal. Yeah. And again, like I mentioned, the reaction of just people I see at Comic-Cons. For me, the best part of that night was seeing the players.
I imagine.
You know, really stare at the poster, look at, you know, both their illustrations, their teammates. What I tried to do to kind of just represent the city with the stadium in the background, the colors, just positioning them in their position like it was a baseball diamond. It was very special, very humbling. And, you know, the Pirates and the MLB really did put on an incredible event. I was very fortunate to be there.
Awesome. And is there going to be like a print version, like APs? What's the deal with this kind of work that you do?
I know they were working on it. I believe that they made a run of about 100 just for like friends and family. Mm-hmm. I don't believe there are plans to sell it right now. I know they made sure like all the players got one, their families got one. I know, you know, the one that was framed is now permanently in that Heinz Museum, in Pittsburgh, which is just an incredible, you know, thought and now memory for me if I ever go back to the city, which I plan to. Mm-hmm. So as far as the prints, I believe that's how it was handled. It was kind of like, you know, how a studio does like a cast and crew, type version.
Okay, that's very cool. And yeah, I mean, would love to see, probably a lot of MLB people would love to see this as a poster. I mean, all the Topps, is it Topps trading cards or the Matt Taylor did, like, I just saw his recent releases with Topps trading cards and like all the players, and like this, I think this goes kind of long, and I this would also work great as a card, like as a collector card.
Yeah, I agree.
Looking really awesome. Great job. Okay, moving on to the movie Postal World.
Sure.
You did lately also a great commission for John Wick, which you had some APs on, and this was a private commission, right? And
yeah.
Let's hear about what happened here. Was it you who said, hey, let's make a commission, or were you approached? What's the deal?
No, you know, I guess I have an understanding of how these private commissions work on Facebook. I have run them through, you know, third-party commissioners in the past. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I like communicating myself. I like being the one to share images, talk to the people involved. So I kind of like running them myself. Also, like I'd rather just pick films that I'm passionate about. I think it always influences the art in more of a positive when it goes like that. So I mean, I love the John Wick films. I love just the colors involved, like all those neon kind of lights and that aesthetic. So combined with the fact that I love painting people, it was kind of a nice marrying where I got to do some cool portraiture, represent kind of these cool fluorescent kind of neon colors from the film, and just kind of come up with a cool composition for the movie.
And as we talked about this one before, which is my favorite season of American Horror Story, your Asylum piece. So what's the deal with that? I mean, it's been a minute since this came out, so
It has, yeah. I don't even. I that must have been 2015, 2016. I did that.
the early days.
So I don't watch the show, admittedly. I've never seen an episode, so I just tried to do some research on that season and the main character, and I thought it would be really interesting because I knew there was this like kind of non-religious motif. I thought it would be really cool to kind of represent that as if it was a like a stained glass window, from a church or something. And so that was kind of cool. I had a imagine it differently because I knew that like Pete's parts were going to be like fractured with the lines that would represent, the breaks of the glass. So once I kind of got it mapped out, it was fun. I just had to do kind of some simple flat color blends, simplify her. I think that's Elizabeth Lang. Is that the actress?
Jessica Lang.
Just Jessica Lang, yeah. Just simplify that style a little bit. Normally, I would go a little bit more detailed and realistic. So yeah, best I can remember, that was the thought process behind that one.
Thank you for giving us a little insight here on these pieces, and we are moving on to our kind of first question, which you touched upon because you said, what was it, 2012, when you finished art school. But which art school did you go to, and do you have any crazy college stories?
So I went to Pratt Institute, which is still a couple blocks away from where I live and work.
Yeah, that's is that also where Greg Ruth went to?
I didn't even know that.
I think he did.
That's all
I think
right.
we
That's
talked about it
awesome.
in the podcast. He was also at Pratt, yeah.
As far as crazy art stories, I don't know. It was more than anything, it was a culture shock for me. I was the kind of the athlete in high school that just happened to be good at drawing. So all my buddies were the star athletes. I was a pretty good runner in high school. So that's what
Like
we did,
long
on,
range, or what
yeah,
were
I
you?
did the mile. I did the mile, the half, quarter, all that. But I was always very immersed just because of my friend group, just for the sports. That's what we did on the weekends. We'd go play, we'd watch the games. So coming to a specialized institute like Pratt, it kind of got flipped where like sports were just not a thing, not really a priority by anybody. Everybody was going to museums and shows on the weekends where, on Sunday I'm watching football all day. That's just what I'm gonna do. Socially it took me a little bit of time to adjust, but I ended up making some really great friends, and I got used to it. I did have really, really amazing relationships with a few of my professors, and at least two of them I still keep in touch with today. I usually go to at least one Yankee game with one of them, Professor LaPadula, Tom LaPadula, shout out.
And I don't know, because I think I remember Greg Ruth like saying that it was for him, they were always like, yeah, no, don't do pop culture art, comic book art.
Oh,
How
100%.
is it still the same way?
Unfortunately, yes.
How was it? Did you do something in that direction, and did you show that to your professors and like?
Oh, absolutely. it was very disheartening for a little while. And thankfully, I have very thick skin, so I didn't. While it was frustrating at the time, I didn't take it to heart, and it didn't divert me from, the vision I had for myself and my work and career. But I remember very clearly the way they structured one of the critiques, the end of the year critiques junior year, was you just pretty much make a slideshow of your work from all your classes, and you have to go into this like dark room where there's a panel of people. It's very intimidating for a college student, and you have literally like 2 minutes to talk about a semester worth of work. So it's just a terrible format. And then the professors are all in the back, critiquing and judging. You can't even see who's talking because it's dark. And at the time, I had started to, explore, sports illustrations. I think I had one Jordan piece already in there. I had a few Star Wars type.
That was not the Jordan piece that I showed, right?
No,
Okay.
no. And verbatim, one after another, I got, you shouldn't do any sports work. There's not a market for it for illustration. You shouldn't do Star Wars. You need to do your own, you need to create your own thing, and you need to do more editorial type stuff and whatnot. And I'm standing there, and I'm just like, I disagree, respectfully. And I remember when I talked to then the teachers I mentioned, they were furious. In my mind now, 10 years later, looking back at it, I think, the role of a professor, certainly at a trade school and an art school like that, is to encourage, and of course it's going to be subjective, but to tell somebody at that age, and part of their life, that they can't do something is such horseshit.
Do you tag the professors in your post now?
I haven't shied away from being vocal about this, because I think about it where it didn't affect me, thankfully, because I knew what I wanted to do, and I'm very ambitious and persevering when it comes to that. But you know what? I'm sure that there were kids that heard something like that, and it totally disillusioned them to pursuing that, and that's horrible.
I'm totally agree with that, and maybe some of the art professors see those interviews and see what they have done or not done with the people. But yeah, I mean, good for you that everything turned out well.
I was able to like I was able to use that little chip on my shoulder to channel it into motivation, and it gave
Awesome.
me more of a drive to prove people wrong, honestly. And I'm happy to keep doing that.
Awesome. By the way, quick question before I forget that. I wanted to ask
Yes.
about the Kittle Visa commercial.
Yeah. Oh, that was an awesome
Did
job. Yeah.
you tell him how to draw or what to do, or what happened
No.
here?
No, I didn't have. I only got in contact with him after the piece.
Oh, okay.
So I saw that, I shared it, Visa shared it, he shared it on his own thing, and I messaged him. I'm like, hey, thanks for signing my painting. And then he was so funny. He's like, oh my God, did I do it right? Did I offend you? I'm like, no, man, I'm messing with you. It was awesome. And then now, we've kind of kept in touch over the years. I mean, he's one of the best tight ends in the league. So it's that was one of those surreal jobs, because it was a Super Bowl spot. It was just wild.
And so you're still in touch with him.
Yeah, we follow each other on Instagram.
That's awesome, man. I mean, that's a great story to
Yeah.
tell. Okay, so how did it turn into movie posters? What was like the first movie poster you did? Is there like a can you name it still, or
Yeah, I want to say, because I got involved with the Hero Complex Gallery, I want to say 2014, 2015. I think it was probably the Asylum piece we talked about. I did it for one of their like shows. I think it was a licensed show for American Horror Story. But I started doing the film posters when they would have the group shows where they, I guess, did it specific to a director or a genre. So I want to say the first film poster I did was Gladiator.
Gladiator. Okay. I
I'm
didn't have that,
yeah,
so
no, I'm glad you didn't pull that one up. As an artist, that was one of my first film posters, so we've done quite a bit of learning since then. It wasn't bad, but I do think I'm much more polished at this point in my career. But yeah, I believe that was my first one, and then I just did films that I loved. I know they had a Stephen King show, so I did Shawshank Redemption and The Green Mile. I still do like those pieces. And yeah, I was thinking about artists and illustrators I learned about in college. The Drew Struzans, Bob Peeks. And while I admired their style, it was important for me to retain and kind of develop my own style organically as we kind of progress. So I think I'm inspired by certain things that they do in terms of composition, just style, some of the outlining. But I think I've been able to incorporate some of my own voice into the film posters and certainly the sports work as well.
Is that also something like looking at Bob Peak and Drew Struzan and all those like artists that basically made it in the pop culture world? Is that something they teach at Pratt, or is it like do
Yeah,
they?
yeah. The teacher I mentioned, Tom LaPadula, he taught a history of illustration course, which was one of my favorite courses because we just went from the early illustration. I loved learning about like the fashion illustration in the 20s, like all the way up to like the Mad Men type times. Like that whole show is kind of just an ode to the art and the advertising of the 50s, 60s, 70s.
I have a great book, by the way. I think I got it for 5 euros. It's a Taschen book,
Oh yeah, they
which
put out
is,
great stuff.
yeah, they do. And it's like this book is called American Shop Fronts of the 60s.
Yeah,
And it
yes.
has like
Oh yeah.
totally cool styles. And I was like, for $5, this is a steal. I'll take that
Yeah.
home. But yeah, so.
Yeah, I mean, so learning about just that progression, that history, I was fascinated by it until you get into the Norman Rockwell and what he was doing for editorial work. All the way up until, I guess, the 70s, 80s, when Druzan was doing album covers for a while, and then he got called to do a film poster, and that really did, he wasn't the first one, but he really popularized it to the point where he became like a rock star.
Indeed, indeed. And speaking of movies here, what was the last movie or TV show that you have seen?
So I did get to see Shang-Chi. I saw
And
that
thoughts?
last Friday. Oh, I loved it. I thought it was one of Marvel's strongest origin tales. I thought the visuals were absolutely stunning. The choreography was incredible. And yeah, I think they're getting better at, like, especially with the Disney Plus shows, they're getting better at retaining, the visuals, the action, but they're really getting good at these like psychological, emotional kind of layers as well. And that was no different than, in Shang-Chi.
Did you catch the Hawkeye trailer that came out
I
yesterday?
did. It looks fun. It's different than what I was expecting, but I guess so was Loki. So yeah, I mean, I'll be watching that as soon as it comes out. I'm sure
Awesome.
I'll add a watercolor piece for that too.
Very good. I think that's what the fan group wants to know.
I think.
And TV shows? Any TV shows? What are you watching right now? Since we talked about comics, I started watching Why the Last Man. The first three episodes are out
Okay.
and Hulu. And I love the comic. Big comic fan there of this one. And TV show is good so far.
Yeah.
Liking it, yeah.
All right, I haven't caught that one yet. I might have to add it to the
I
list.
think it came out on Sunday night,
Oh, okay.
the
Very cool.
first three episodes. So yeah.
So yeah, as far as new shows, I know Billions just came back on. I do like that one. So I've watched, I think they have two new episodes out. I
Yeah,
caught
I
both of
didn't
those.
start on that yet.
It's it's not one I'd recommend for everybody. You have
No,
to
I love
just.
the show. I didn't start the new see
Oh,
I
okay.
didn't start the second half of the season yet. Still have that.
I could see why people don't like that show just because of the subject matter, but I think the writing is very strong. I think the characters are compelling. I think, I'm sorry, I did watch, I started and then I binged Yellowstone very quick,
Oh,
and
okay.
Yellowstone is unbelievable. I
Yeah,
can't
I did
wait
too.
for that to come back. I think it's in November or so,
And
season four.
in December, you get the spin-off series, the 1883.
And yeah, I think it's shoot, who's the actor?
It's Billy Bob they got now.
Yes. So
And
I
they
mean that's
got
a
Faith
that's a
Hill, Tim
yes.
McGraw, everybody's going to be in there.
So that was as soon as I saw Billy Bob, that was an easy sell.
There you go.
I thought for me one of my favorite like single seasons is that first season of Fargo.
Oh yeah.
One of my favorite TV seasons of all time.
Yeah, it was the first one, was it, or the second one?
First, yeah.
First one. Yeah, that was great. Yeah, Billy Bob knows how to act sometimes, not
Yes.
always, but sometimes. So what is some must-see movie or TV show that you're really looking forward to?
Well, I think my number one right now would be Yellowstone coming back. I'm very excited for Hawkeye. I think Disney.
Do you watch Succession?
No, I haven't started Succession. People have told me if I like Billions, I'll like Succession.
I
All
think
right, so.
Succession is better than Billions, in my
Oh,
opinion.
interesting. Okay. Well, I'll add that one too.
Third season is going to come, I think, at the end of the month.
Well, I mean, whenever I start something, I ended up watching the entire season in like a day. So,
Yeah, that's what it was. I didn't watch the first two seasons. I was like, oh well, it's sometimes people overhype stuff, so I was like, ah, I'm not going to jump on that train. And
yeah.
then I did, and it was and my girlfriend and I, we watched it like in a week, both
Oh,
seasons.
wow. Yeah.
So it was like super fast.
Well, it's a testament to everybody involved with the show when you get that intrigued and interested in it that you just want to, you have to know what happens.
And that's definitely the feeling you will have. So I'll promise you won't be disappointed.
All right.
And any movies you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, geez, I feel like we're still getting the hangover from 2020 of things that are being re so, I mean, the Mission Impossible films, you have the Bond movie coming out, obviously,
Just got some
Spider-Man.
got just got some tickets for the Bond movie
Nice.
for the IMAX, so I'm excited for that to finally see it.
I think it comes out really soon. I'm really excited for the Ridley Scott movie with Adam Driver.
The Gucci
No, no,
one?
no. It's like the medieval, like with
Oh yeah,
Adam
The
Driver.
Last Duel, The Last Duel.
Yeah, that looks awesome. I'm a sucker for most of his period piece movies. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's more, but that's what jumps out to me off the top of my head.
Did you get tickets for Dune already?
Dune is another one I haven't, no. What I like to do, because I have the Alamo Draft House right by me in Brooklyn, so honestly, man, I'll find like a Tuesday morning and I'll just go and I'll have the whole theater to myself.
And IMAX? No IMAX?
It's all right. I'm sure that's a movie to see in IMAX, but I'm so spoiled, like just being able to have, drink and food throughout the movie at that place. So
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'll see it there.
I'm lucky. I have the I know the owner of the IMAX, which is like 10 minutes from my house. And
That's awesome.
so I sometimes I get those luxury privileges with like with a certain screening that is only for the people that work there, and like on a Monday morning 9 a.m. viewing or
Yeah.
something like that. So that's really
Well,
nice to have
yeah, I
that.
mean that's a great connection to have.
And we had like for my 33rd birthday, I think it was 2 years ago or so, we had I got the whole cinema for my friends and I,
Oh,
and
nice.
so that was really cool. We were like around 50 people, and we watched Star Wars, like original 1977 35 millimeter 4K copy.
Oh, that's wild. Very
That
cool.
was really cool and really crazy, and it was tons of fun.
I'm sure.
To actually see Han shoot first,
There you go.
these kind of things. But yeah, so this is also always a pleasure to have that close by. And I see Dune the first time. I'll go on Saturday, and then I'll go back on Wednesday. And the first time we'll be in iSense and the Dolby theater, and then the second time we'll be in IMAX. So. Then I can't compare.
There you go.
Speaking of movie in general, do you have a favorite movie?
I would still have to say my favorite is Gladiator. I know that was my first poster. Gladiator is definitely one I can watch over and over again. Yeah, it's one of those movies that, like, on the surface, it seems like a very macho, like, action movie. But then when you pull it back a little bit, it's obviously just about, revenge, vengeance, avenging your family, meeting your family again, in an afterlife. Even, like, when you look at Commodus's story, Joaquin Phoenix acted the hell out of that role, but I do think about how it would be if I had this, like, great father and he favored, this other guy, over me. It's like interesting to think about
And
psychologically.
so when is your reboot poster of this one coming?
I have been thinking about it. I don't know. That might have to be a job for 2022, maybe even late 2021. We'll see.
All right, people. So you Facebook people, you all know
Yeah, there you
how to
go.
get him to work.
Yeah.
You know how to do it. So we covered that
Yeah, that's live there. I'm committed.
part. Exactly. You said it here first. So speaking of the alt or movie poster in general scene, do you have any favorites right now that you really, really like? Like this is what's up. People should know about this one or
As far as my work,
no, I could be if you're very if you love your work so much you can mention it of course.
oh no, I thought you meant if there's any, like,
But
projects I have coming out. But
no,
no,
that's
I
gonna
mean,
be later. That's gonna be later.
okay, as far as the artist, I mean, I am very, very captivated by anything Greg Ruth does. I've really never seen anybody command a pencil. And I consider myself
This
to
guy.
be very efficient with a pencil, but he has just transcended that medium in ways that I did not think were possible. Just how he is able to render materials and smoke.
Yeah, that's what I said. If I ever commission Greg Roos for anything, I just want smoke, flames, and stuff. Just do that for me.
And I mean, the painstakingly detailed pieces where he's rendering out blades of grass.
Oh, the memories of a murder.
I mean, I just, like, I don't think I'd ever have the patience. So I give him props and kudos for that. I love how he then scans in his pencils and he does just, like, simple color work for the posters. Let's see, who else? I
And
love.
you probably like that. You should check out the interview that we did. And like, I don't know,
I'd love to.
I asked him. I think it was the third interview ever that I had, like for the podcast when it came out over 1.5 years ago. And he was like saying, yeah, because I asked him like if he uses Wacom or anything to like do anything. I just use the Mac and put it in Photoshop, and the rest is all like doing his artwork, and which is crazy, like scanning
Yeah, I
this and
mean,
having the details, it's incredible.
you could see that the digital, we'll call it enhancements, are so minimal. You're really getting his hand, and everything he does. I love pretty much everything Rory Kurtz does. I
Oh,
think he has.
have you seen the new Frank Lloyd Wright series piece he did? I think he revealed it yesterday.
Maybe not then. I was probably on the road most of the day yesterday.
Oh yeah, you should check it out.
I will.
The first one, the Talzin one, is amazing. And now he did a second piece for that, and it's just incredible, just incredible.
Yeah, I think Rory has a mastery of creating, I'd say, more simplified compositions, but then he has such a way of commanding, like, the color palette throughout them to make everything look like it's just part of, that one scene and image. He is another one who's very, very masterful at rendering textures, and kind of varying that. Yeah, I'm always very drawn just by the drama even that he gets in his work.
The lamp piece he did for A24 is
Yeah.
also really amazing.
Yeah. I love, just as far as a more traditional painting, I mean, I think Jason Edmiston is one of the best. I love what he's able to do with painting. The Eye series is unbelievable.
So do you have a specific piece you really want to point out here?
No, for those guys, I'm very drawn to everything and anything
Okay.
they do. I can't think of a favorite off the top of my head. Just from a technical and a stylistic standpoint, I think that's a good trio of like artists that are in the same field, have vastly different styles, but are all rocking it, you know?
If you don't know, check out Kevin McGivern. I think you might like him
Oh
as
no,
well.
I know
Oh yeah.
Kevin. Yeah, me and
Okay.
him, he is almost just as good with pencil, and I love his I've really enjoyed his soccer portraits
Yeah.
for what, FIFA or one of the leagues.
Yeah. Premier League or
Yeah.
something. Premier League or FIFA, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. So you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Because
Yes.
of that. Great. So, do you have an opinion on galleries? Because most of your work is commercial work and private commissions, but galleries, other than Hero Complex, I don't remember if I've seen anything there, but do you have an opinion or don't you want to work with galleries?
I mean, I'd love to. I feel like I've always been very open. I've tried reaching out to Bottleneck a few times. I think they have their, pretty set stable of artists that they like to use. And I mean, that's totally fair. It's always just been a bummer just because of how close I am, to the gallery. There would be opportunities for, signings and whatnot. But you know what? At this point, they're obviously doing well with what they're doing and how they're doing it. So, I try not to. If somebody wants to work with me, it's very easy to get in touch with me. So I try not to dwell on the opportunities that I haven't gotten, and I just focus on, what is out there,
I mean, you're probably very busy anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, I try. It's nice. I try to keep myself busy. I usually have at least one commercial job going. Now that the shows are kind of happening again, I got to kind of layer that back into my schedule. Yeah.
Okay. And do you collect as well, or is it just.
I have a handful. I'm not an avid collector. Most of the pieces I have in my flat file were either like trades or gifts.
What's in there?
I think I do have one of the Tyler Stouts. I want to say, oh geez, Gart, one of the Marvel films he did.
Okay. There were a couple,
Yeah.
yeah.
I'd have to pull it open.
Was it a trade or did you grab this one?
That was actually a gift
Okay, that's nice.
from somebody that has followed my work. I have a few of Jason's smaller pieces, prints. I have a few of Gabs's pieces. Gabs is one of my good buddies. Yeah, man, I'd have to open it up. There's a handful of things in there.
Okay.
But yeah, I'd rather just like and support their work on social media, chat with them, and let the collectors and the patrons have their fair shot at the drops and purchasing the
Yeah.
prints.
And is there a piece that you put up lately? It could be your own, obviously, but is there something that you recently put up?
So I mean, commercial wise, the Pirates was the last poster I did. That was a
Do
long
you have it
project.
printed, by the way?
I did a test print for them, and then I did just a handful of test prints here myself. They then handled the printing for the actual event. I just needed to see how the colors looked, and because the physical file was very big, I just wanted to, see it in actual size and just go around, make sure I didn't have to, touch up any areas.
What size is it, by the way? 24 by 36?
No, it was bigger than that.
Even bigger.
I
One
believe
sheet?
they print for it, I think it was even bigger. Well, I don't know. For the event, I believe they printed it at 3 feet by 4 feet.
Okay,
So I
but is
don't.
it that's not a G clay print anymore, I take it. Or they did.
No, they I examined that really well. They had that. They definitely used a G-Clay printer because it
Oh,
was
they
on
did.
like a Like a textured, like cold pressed paper. And I mean,
Oh,
the
okay.
color, I just know from my printer, I mean, the colors were spot on. So the way they printed them for the friends and family, they were certainly Giclée prints. They look beautiful.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so that's really interesting because, like, I don't know, because sometimes they take it and they if they don't know about printing, then it turns.
Well, so they have a great creative team there. My creative director I worked under, his name is John Wiley. He used to be with the Dolphins when I did the job for the Dolphins. He's very, very knowledgeable, just with photography, printing, digital content. So I know he made sure, it was printed and outsourced the right way.
Perfect. That's always very important if
It
people
is,
know
yeah.
where to ask or at least acknowledge the fact that some stuff needs to be on spot on. So did you hang that up your own version or is that?
Not yet. Actually, one of my friends at the Horror Hound show I was just at, his name is Scott Dixton. He owns a framing shop in Cincinnati.
Oh,
Or,
okay.
not sorry, not Cincinnati. They're from Indianapolis, or right
Okay.
outside. I'll probably send him one to frame up, and then I will display that proudly.
Okay, perfect. And you want to shout out his framing shop?
Yeah, I believe I just want to get it right. And pull it up on Instagram.
Because yeah, I'm gonna or you can tell me later. I will definitely tag him then. So.
Let's see, I should have it right here. Yeah, it's a Hand and Co. framing.
Hand
And
and co. Is it
they
one
are
word? Is it the
like
handle as
a
well?
hand and symbol
Okay.
co.
All right.
I think their Instagram handle is just Hand Framing.
Okay.
And they're based out of Indiana.
Alrighty, then I will definitely tag him so he knows we talked about
Oh, wonderful.
him. I mean, we can see a little bit of your apartment there in the background. It has lots of art up. And does the whole house look like this, or is it just the office, or what?
This is my studio, so behind me, I have a lot of my Marvel portraiture, and most of them are, sorry, all of them are signed by the actors and actresses from meeting them at Comic Cons and stuff. So that's a cool collection. I do have some music stuff on the left and right of me. I have Freddie Mercury to my left. I have Elton John to my right.
Yeah, let me,
So it's a
I think you posted this. I have Elton John up for the people to see because they can see that.
Yeah, the mu I had wanted to get into just music type pieces and illustrations for a while, and when COVID hit, I wasn't traveling. My commercial work kind of took a back seat, so I had all this extra time to finally do a whole string of just personal passion projects that I had wanted to do for a while. So that was certainly one of them.
Okay. And since you have like I don't know from the photos that you gave me, I think you put that on the internet as well for an interview that you have done, right? Was it?
Oh yeah, so that was still the Pirates job. The
Okay.
MLB, yeah, Major League Baseball actually hired a videographer and photographer to kind of shoot myself while I was working throughout the project. So the Pirates ended up using a little bit of that footage in the video they created. Yeah, so all the shots I sent you were from that photographer, videographer, and I will certainly give you his name.
That's
Brad Cohen, very talented guy.
Brad Cohen. Alrighty.
Yes.
And so these pieces, I mean, your apartment looks beautiful. I'd say that's with all the
Thank
with the
you.
brick wall there in the background. That's really cool. And is that that's your living room, I take it, with the bricks, right? Or is that?
Yeah, so we had a I one day he was here for six sessions throughout that project. So one day I set up my more like mobile tablet that
Okay.
I'll travel with, just to get some variety, and I worked on one of the player illustrations from the comfort of my couch.
Where do you like to work?
Exactly where I'm sitting now.
Okay.
And then when I do my watercolors, that's in my room, because I have my like standing table right by a window, so I get really nice natural light all day.
Okay, that's very cool. So, what would you say is your favorite part of your apartment?
Oh boy.
That's a good question, huh?
That's tough. I feel like my apartment overall is a very well-rounded and healthy representation of me. I've been living here a long time, so anybody that knows me would walk into here and know that I lived here. So it's tough to kind of single out a
Do
part of it.
when people come to your home, is that
Yeah.
are they going to be in awe, like a museum kind of awe? Because like that's what I get, because I have so many pieces up. They'll like take like 20, 30 minutes just walking around looking at the pieces instead of just interacting.
I don't, maybe not museum awe. I think mine are definitely, like in my living room, I only have four pieces
Oh,
up. I
okay.
have some of the Tarantino posters up. So they're spread out. I think it's more like, in here, it's more like a gallery type setting. I don't know. In my living room, I've tried to put up pieces that just kind of complement, like, the colors and, just very clean, just one piece per wall.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I like the vibe.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it looks great. I have kind of the same kind of style, so it's we would get along if we would share an apartment greatly, I guess. Alrighty. Let's talk about more of your future work. Is there something you're working on right now that you can talk about? I know there are NDAs and stuff like that, but I don't know. Maybe you can tease us a little bit. But what's up?
I do have pieces in play for other sports teams. I think when the Pirates job was released, that set a lot of, things in motion, which was, amazing. Not too much plan, like officially planned as far as entertainment goes. I feel like I've made a concerted effort to focus a little bit more on the sports side of things. I've had the pleasure of working for Disney, Marvel, Fox, Fandango, some of the bigger studios. I don't know. So it was like kind of nice working with those people. I found the approval processes and just some of the obstacles with the commercial brands has been a little bit more tedious than like all the sports work I do. So, at times it's a little frustrating, and I'm sure a lot of other artists would attest to this.
How is it, by the way, with in a sports context, for example, how is it with likeness? I mean, since when you have movies, you have the actors are like, yeah, I don't give my likeness away, blah blah blah.
Yeah, that's
How's that?
something I don't have to deal with sports. I think the sports guys and girls are, I don't know, it's like a different mindset. Like when I've been able to interact with like an athlete I've depicted, the reaction is always just so just gracious that they've been represented in like a painting. Yeah, I've never had any kickback
But
or
are there likeness rights? Do they have to sign it off, or is that
I
like
don't
via
be,
the
if they're
NBA
on
or
a team
whatever?
if they're yeah if they're on a team or a league, I don't believe so,
Okay.
because technically they're under contract from
Okay, I
either
figured,
a
yeah.
team or, an organization.
All right, that's interesting. And how is it in general with your project? How do you approach a sports project or a movie project? Is it different? If so, can you explain the differences?
Yeah, maybe some slight differences. I feel like the first thing I do is I do research. I'll make some notes. If it's a film poster, I'll start thinking about, in addition to, representing the actors and the actresses, just what I want to include in terms of organic elements, buildings, cars, scenery, even like key moments from the movie, key themes of the movie, just so I have like a whole sheet, like kind of like a cheat sheet to kind of come back to and explore. Then, for both sports and like entertainment posters, it's really just gathering a lot of reference, finding angles that I can work, that creates kind of a pleasing composition and represents the characters in a accurate and intriguing way. Whenever I'm hired to do either a film poster or something like that for the Pirates or the Eagles, I'm typically given like a whole asset folder where I can kind of pick and choose from photography, and you know, maybe I have to change some like simple lighting, but for the most part, I'm usually well off in terms of all the reference assets that I need. And then it gets into just sketching, moving photos around, trying to compose a composition. If it's a single portrait or character, like I often do, it's really about the lighting, getting the mood and the drama, choosing a color in the background that will complement, you know, the face, and making it aesthetically pleasing for the viewer. And then it's really just, you know, approaching it like I learned how to use traditional paints digitally. Starting with a base painting, usually a more monotone layer, and then slowly building it up, adding lights, adding darks, highlight shadows, adding, you know, textural elements to really get that kind of traditional type feel, and then just deep, you know, detailing.
Do you have a like digitally, do you use a certain brush or?
I have a folder of brushes. A lot of them came from the ones Kyle Webster has on Adobe. I've modified quite a few just to my own personal liking. I, you know, it's funny. I think I would venture a guess to say that most digital artists have hundreds of brushes, and then I would venture another guess to say that they use less than 10 of them,
That's
which is certainly my case.
yeah, that's I think that's a lot of what, like, you know, when I always like when you read it on like on live streams or whatever, and people ask, what brushes do you use? Always Kyle comes up, so and they're all like, yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I still get emails with people asking about, you know, brushes, and I've certainly done it the same. Sometimes I'll see even, you know, something that Kevin does or something that, you know, another digital artist does that, like, you know, I'm seeing a texture that I haven't been able to achieve, or I don't know how to get it so, like, thick and like three-dimensional looking. Like, I'll ask all the time. I'm curious. But the base of it is, unless you have that foundation and a traditional understanding for how color works, how layering, blending colors works, you can use any brush you want. It's not going to solve, you know, it's not going to create the art for you, you know? Because, like, even, you know, some of my favorite concept guys from Marvel, like Andy Park and Ryan Meandering, they're using the circle brush. So, you know, if they can achieve that layer of detail and stylization using the circle brush, I mean, that's pretty telling right there.
And how do you like your prints to come out? Is there like you have a certain paper or color you like you go to or
Yeah, so I'm very proud, and I love doing all my printing myself in my studio. I typically go for the Epson hot press. It has a nice thickness to it, but it has a very smooth finish. So I think especially for some of the brighter colors, it represents all those middle tones and half tones very accurately and very, very vibrantly. So that's typically what I go to in terms of printing.
All right. And what would you say is or was your most challenging work so far?
I think in terms of, like I mentioned earlier, just a pressure from the scope of the project and the significance of it, I will say the Pirates, just because I just wanted to do the best possible job I could, just representing that moment and representing that team. So that's one of them. In terms of a logistics standpoint, I did the key artwork for the Army-Navy
Game?
football game. Two years ago, and that I had to design so it would be printed on a 40-foot wide shipping container. They printed it on one of those adhesive papers and just kind of, you know, adhered it to the entire container. So, you know, I pretty much had to imagine this, you know, working on my screen, which is maybe, you know, 20 inches wide. You know, in terms of just scaling, it was like, you know, just a fraction of how big. So it definitely stressed out, even though I have pretty good memory on my system here. Definitely pushed the limits there. Because I mean, I think when I sent that, I had to tile it, but even the tiles that I sent to my client were, you know, 5, 6 gigabytes each.
Oh, wow.
Just massive, massive files. And then they had a, you know, I couldn't flatten anything because they had to, you know, utilize it for other orientations like bus ads and billboards, even like posters they had at the event. So it had to work in this super elongated landscape, but it also had to work some way in like a portraiture style. So I had to keep then moving all these massive layers, and even just trying to drag
Oh
something
my
took me
God.
like 10, you know, took me like 10 minutes. So I thought that job came together really well. That was another, I got to attend the game with a bunch of my buddies, and one of my best friends, Mark, is a former Army, so that was really special
Awesome,
to
yeah.
just experience that with him and the rest of the fellas. So that, because of the physical size of that kind of stopped me in the tracks when I walked in, and I just, you know, I saw it all printed. And then I did like supplemental artwork, so they had it printed out on like cornhole boards where people were playing with the bean bags. You know, they had posters all through the venue. So everything came together really well. I will say that's probably the most stressed I've been, just because of how slowed down I got creatively because of the physical size of the files.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely. Also, you know, it's very nerve-wracking when I'm trying, when I've done hours and hours of work, and now I'm trying to save something, and just saving it
You
takes an
keep
hour.
praying that everything goes
Well,
through. Oh my God,
exactly. And
yeah.
it got to the point where, just to keep my sanity, I would have to stop and save every like 20 minutes or half hour or so, which again, just, it just, normally I have a very good flow while I'm painting. My digital style, like I said, is very similar to my traditional painting style. So I, you know, it's a very seamless process in terms of how I build a portrait or build a character. This was a very inorganic way of working because I had to keep stopping myself and saving, or, you know,
At least you took a
yeah.
break.
I did. I did. Yeah.
So is there any IP or idea that you want to work on in the future in either older, newer movies, TV shows, musics, other sports? What do you want to work on?
I'd like to do some more editorial type work, you know, especially now that I've gotten into music type portraiture and illustration. I would love to do some work for magazines like Rolling Stone, you know, Esquire, GQ. I love painting people, so I'd love to just do more portraiture type work where there's maybe like a simple narrative or, you know, background element. I have certain clients I'd like to work with in terms of the sporting world. I'd love to do some work for Nike. I feel like that's the pinnacle of, you know, like a sporting name and brand.
In what way? With Nike? You want to like design your own shoe or?
Anything, even you know, Nike is the you know, the sponsor of a lot of the leagues. So even doing just athlete illustrations. I know there was an artist, oh shoot, Alexis Marcoux, French, I believe, a French artist, and he did a series for them, just pencil drawings where they utilized them in some of the Nike stores, as like banners and stuff. So I think there's a lot of you know, versatility there, and I could definitely see just some of my player illustrations being used as like backdrops and whatnot. So that would be another.
I would also think that I don't know when you watch like the NFL games, they have the illustrations of the players on there right
Yes.
now. I think that would suit you very well.
I've already spoken to one or two creative directors about the possibility of doing an illustrated version of that, and I think most are, a lot more teams now are going in a more progressive type way, so they're very open to new media and new ideas. I'd also like to team or maybe learn some basic animation myself and do some, especially if I have my sports work layered, do some simple animations of, you know, doing the rendering of the player, then with like kind of the painterly backgrounds, the accent lines I do. I think that would be cool. And I think a lot of teams and brands are trending towards a more interactive format, especially for social media. So I think that would be smart. You know, I'd love to do more prints from Marvel. I had started a series of Grey Matter. But like I said, it's just kind of when somebody reaches out to do work, I'll be here waiting.
Alrighty, that sounds good. So let's come to my favorite question. I'm really excited what you're going to say to this one. Which fine or classical artist would you like to see make a film poster, and what movie or franchise would it be?
Oh, wow. Well, I would say I was always very drawn to the painting style of the Renaissance artists. So I think either like Rembrandt or Caravaggio would create a kick-ass movie poster. Based on their style, I would love to see them do like a Gladiator or even, oh my God, like Kingdom of Heaven would be unbelievable. Seeing them do all the, all the armor and, the battles and whatnot. I would love to just see that, their take on something like that.
All right. Yeah, that's a great answer. And now let's come to your monologuing part that I
All
promised to
right.
you. Do you have any tips for the beginners out there when it comes to maybe the hardware, software, utensils, social media, life tips of being an artist, anything you can think of, let the people know.
All right, I'll try to break that down and say something about each. As terms of hardware goes, I mean, that's easy. You can Google anything, any tablet if you want to try digital. You can start with a base model Wacom. I think it's still called the Bamboo tablet, which is not very expensive. It'll get your foot in the door in terms of painting digitally. I mean, at this point now, even just having an iPad, just download Procreate and, start playing around. I think I learned a good deal in college, but so much of Photoshop and these programs, I think it's better just learning by trial and error. There's a million and one ways to do everything. Like, so many artists that work digitally, but none of us work the same way, but we still get to a very similar place. So I think it's important not to get bogged down on somebody else's process or style, somebody else's brushes. Because in the end of the day, like that's not what's going to create great artwork for you. It's going to be the work you've put in, your training, your foundation. All right, so I can easily go in a lot of tangents, but all right, so for hardware, that would be my advice. If you want to do traditional painting, I mean, you don't have to buy anything expensive to start. Watch tutorials free on YouTube or buy books that are inexpensive on, Amazon or even audio or, books on your iPad and Kindle. You could get just incredible information and insight just from looking and reading. In terms of social media, I think like anybody right now, social media frustrates me. The algorithms on Facebook and Instagram are ever changing, and it's not very favorable for independent artists and freelancers like myself. I think it definitely caters to the much larger corporations that are shelling out a lot of money for advertising. So, best I can say is just stay true to yourself. Post all your work. Use smart and thoughtful hashtags to try to get your work into the circles you want it to get into. Don't be afraid to paint existing properties. Like me and Greg's professor said to us, if you want to do Star Wars, do Star Wars fan art. If you want to do Marvel, do Marvel. If you want to do your own stuff, that's great, do that. I think it's just like very important when you're starting out not to limit yourself and be discouraged by, any one piece of advice somebody said to you. So I think staying true to yourself is very important.
All right. Those are definitely some really great advice, advice that you gave us here, and I hope the people use that. There will also be like I will do the advices for like all the interviews. I collect them, and there will be like an advice section in the future. So still working on that, getting a couple more in, and then releasing the first batch, so people can
Yeah.
pay attention to that. And I think that's different perspective, different views from female artists, diverse artists, and all types of artists that have different perspective. I think that helps out.
I think if I could add one thing,
Sure.
I do just even from a conversation I had at the Horror Hound with a young artist, I do think communication is very important. One thing I found from talking to younger artists, and I frequently get asked to come to Pratt and talk to some of the classes there. I think admittedly a lot of artists tend to be more introverted in nature, and I totally respect that. I am myself to an extent. But it is important to get used to communicating and talking to clients, getting comfortable talking about things like money and, what to charge, what you're worth, because you're going to be asked these things if you want to pursue a career in art. And the more prepared you are and the more comfortable you are with talking about these things will just make it easier for you when the time comes. A company and a client is never looking to pay you more money. So
Sadly.
unless you Unless exactly, so unless you ask and kind of are fair with yourself, you're gonna be kind of lowballed a lot of the time, and yeah, the more you can get comfortable to talking with people, the better you'll be at even just expressing your ideas and dealing with art directors or marketing managers or any of that. I think it'll just help a lot and pay many dividends in the latter stages of your career.
Indeed, that's very important. I think that we added this part because this is the bread and butter of your daily work if you want to make it financially in some sort of way in the artist world. But before I let you go, please feel free to shout out anybody, friends, family, fellow artists that you want to shout out and let them know that you're thinking about them. This is your stage. There's no music, so you're not going to be dragged off. You can go as long as you want to.
I'll give a quick first shout out to my buddy Marco Menev. I know it was just your birthday,
Yeah,
either
happy birthday,
yesterday or the
buddy.
day before.
Yeah.
I know I've been terrible at keeping in touch, but miss you, man. I hope we can get to another Comic-Con together soon. I'll give an across the sea shout out to my buddy Gabs. I miss you too, man. I wish you were coming to New York Comic-Con so we could play beer pong again. Obviously, I'll give a shout out to all of my friends and family, and really anybody that has shown me continued support and motivation over the years. I'm constantly inspired by what I see and the comments I read on social media, emails. So yeah, just a million thank yous. And I mean, thank you to you, Tom, for having me on here. This was a really great conversation.
Thank you so much for coming on. It's been totally my pleasure. And finally, I could talk about sports with somebody because
There
like
you
most
go.
of the time the artists, they're like, yeah, I know about sports, but they when I start like talking fantasy and numbers and stats, they were like, what is he talking about?
Yeah,
So,
no, I hear you.
but before you go, let the people out there also know where they can find you on social media or your website and whatever you want to plug here in terms of getting your work seen and bought.
Yeah, my pleasure. So my Instagram and Twitter are both at rbrunoill, ILL, short for illustration. If you just type in my name on Facebook, my pages should come up. It might be Bruno Illustration for the business page. And then I also have a private art group on Facebook where I do typically release, prints a little earlier. I give more works in process. That is just the art of Robert Bruno. It's a very fun group. Like I said, a lot of the people I just shouted out are in there. It's a great group of folks. I am in the process of creating a Patreon for myself where I'd like to give an even deeper insight into video processes, images, maybe even do some exclusive pieces for those people. So I'd like to get that up and running, I'd say by the end of October. So I'll certainly be making announcements there.
Yeah, feel free to ask, by the way, if you need help in terms of video or
Oh,
doing something.
actually, I certainly will. My regular website is just brunodi.com. And on there, you'll find a link to my shop if you want to get on my mailing list. I always send that out whenever I release a new print. I give info on shows I'll be attending and anything I have in the works. So I think that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it. Okay, thank you so much, Robert, for coming on and talking about your work and your personal life as well, which has been really interesting. And we will definitely keep your work in the release section of our podcast and maybe have you on for a breakdown of a brand new piece in the future. And
Sure.
yeah, and maybe collaborating on other works as well. So thank you so much again,
That
and
sounds
we'll
great.
talk soon. Take care.
All right, take it easy.